All right, we're going to get into worship here, but let's just stay in this place of prayer and this place of peace. Just let the Holy Spirit just reign over you. Just let Him fill you right now. Lord, I thank You for this service that we're going to have today, and I just declare that our agendas would be put aside so that You and You alone can just work inside this place, Lord. Work inside of our hearts and our minds in ways that only You can, Lord. Just let Your Holy Spirit fill this place. Let us feel peace and comfort. Let there be no temptation to have any sense of performance, Lord. Just let us worship You freely. Just let us work in Your presence, Lord. Every heart be touched today. Every heart be shifted. Every heart be worked in, Lord. Jesus' name.
touch today is yours. It's there for the taking. We need a fresh touch today. It's yours. Just receive it, just receive it. It's pouring it out, it's pouring it out. In this place today, it's pouring it out. Thank you. excited to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Just feel like He has something so powerful to pour out, and it's there for the taking. This could be like any other Sunday if we allow it to. I just feel like if we press in this morning, we're going to see Jesus in a whole new way. Those things that you've been waiting for, those things that you've been seeking the Lord for, I feel like God is just ready. He's been ready to pour it out over His children today. He's there for the taking. The table is set. All we have to do is sit down and feast. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're excited to be in Your presence, Lord. We're excited to be in Your presence. Thank you, Lord. Story, the depth being you have read. glad that Jesus came and saved us. Yeah, we can give it up for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have Nancy's hair on me or something. It's just for the presence of God. I don't know. And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so.
Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us
so. Like a hurricane, I am a
Okay, so I have to admit, the one line in there that says that it meets the sloppy wet kiss line, whatever that is. Heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. Okay, I gotta just say, that line's bugged me forever. But have any of y'all had a dog that licked and licked and licked the same spot on you? Hand, face, whichever spot. But you couldn't think he could lick anymore because the spot was already clean, but they still lick more and more and more and more. We had a dog, my daughter counted 100 times that the dog licked in the same spot. Let me just say, the dog got the job done. Jesus gets the job done, y'all. Okay, so I saw this picture before we ever started. We had prayer up here today, and it even though it didn't seem all that big, and the Lord just, he came in like just a precious, sweet spirit. And I got this picture of this big, round, flat type of a bowl. Big, big. There was room for everybody at the bowl. It was that big. And I heard the Lord say, can you just throw in your expectations for today into the bowl? Could you just throw in hurts or joy or pain or unforgiveness or sin, or can you just throw it into the bowl? And some of us, we were all standing around the bowl, facing toward the bowl. We were getting stuff out, throwing it in out of our heart and throwing it in. Some of us had a lot, some of us not as much, but it didn't matter, because as we emptied it ourselves out, we turned away from the bowl with our backs toward the bowl, and we were facing out. And as we faced out, I saw like a surgery had been done on the body of the person that turned, and it was wide open. And as I looked at this heart, I saw like light coming out of the heart. I hope you can get this picture. It's so amazing. That as I kind of drew in closer, I noticed an etched out, just an etched out picture of something. And as I continued to zoom in and look closer, it was the perfect picture of Jesus. All of the things that had been in there had been taken out, and there was a spot just perfect enough for him. And as he came by each person that turned away from the bowl as they got done, he just put his hand on that spot, and it was just filled with him, with peace and love and joy, and every healing and every hurt and disappointment was just filled by God himself. And that bowl, I peeked. I turned around and peeked. And it was all, everything was gone. It was like, as it got thrown in, Jesus took care of it. He just took care of it. Like there was nothing in the bowl, even though all of us had just thrown so much in there. Will you come to the bowl today? He says, will you come and just empty yourself? Empty yourself, last week's service was so wonderful. I don't know if anybody loved it as much as I did, but today's a new day in Jesus. Things have happened this week, whether good or bad. What about expectations of what you think today should look like? After last week, it was so powerful. It's like, oh, well, he's not going to move today. You know, he moved last week. You know, beggars, you know, we get what we get and no more. Oh, no. It's a new day in him. He wants to give and to give and to give and to give. And it doesn't matter where you've been. He just wants you to come to the bowl. Will you come to the bowl today? Whatever that looks like for you, just come and throw it all in there and let him come by and just press his hand into your heart to fill that spot full of him.
sloppy wet kiss and my heart turns violently inside my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. So heaven meet earth like a sloppy wet kiss and my heart turns violently inside my chest.
his freedom.
Jesus, as we move forward, let your presence just continue to just rest on us. Father, don't let us get in the way of anything you want to continue to do in this service today. Help our hearts to be in tune with yours. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just quietly go around and say, hey, grab a cup of coffee if you need one, and we'll get back to it.
There we go. I think I came unhooked. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So good to see all of you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to make a declaration. This declaration is called the heart of the house. And so what we really want to believe is that the heart of this house is the heart of the Lord, that we're linking our heart with him. One thing about David that God said about him that is pretty incredible based upon his life and some of the things that he did, that he was a man after his own heart. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a house, a people, a family, a group that gathers together in faith and has a heart after the Father and a heart for the Father, the same thing that he beat, that beats his heart to beat our heart. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, if you'd stand with me, if you can, and on three, we're going to declare this. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Amen. Lord, we do. We submit, Lord, to your heart as a body. Lord, we just ask that you would do a divine transference, Lord. Whatever your heart feels, Lord, for us and that we should have, Lord, we ask that you would fill each one of us with that. Lord, love for our city. Lord, love for our family. Love for those that we work with and those that we are around during the day, Lord. Lord, fill us, Lord, with that love, Lord, that is the most vital characteristic that you have, because you revealed it in your Son. You revealed it, Lord, on the cross, Lord. You revealed it in sending your Son to this world, Lord, to save us. Lord, let us have that heart. Let us have that heart, Lord, that's not in any way holding back, that we give, Lord, freely as we have freely given. We just ask for that right now in Jesus' name, that you would just do a mighty work in One Life Family Worship in Jesus' name. Okay, we have a few announcements today. See if I can get through them this time. After church, in the overflow, we're going to have a meeting. It shouldn't be too long, hopefully. And so it'll probably be, we'll try to do it right away, but we're for sure going to start it at 12:30 if we run over anything like that. So, okay, church game night. Doesn't that sound fun? This is going to be a all church game night, and it's going to be March 19th. That's a Sunday night. We'll start at 6 and go to 8. And we haven't got the game down exactly for sure, do we? Are we doing? We're doing trivia. What is it? Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Well, maybe we're not doing trivia. I don't know. Just a guess. Okay. Anyway, please join us and bring friends and family to that, because it should be a great time. We're not having food. Are we having food? Yeah. We are having food. Everybody bring a snack to share. Okay. There we go. Everybody bring a snack to share, and we will provide the drinks. How's that? We need like a group board up here for doing announcements. Okay, so we're going to have a work day, March 25th. Who likes to work? Yeah. One person. Who loves to work? Nobody. Well, how many know that there's things that need to be done around this place, especially after a winter? And so spring is going to be hopefully here by then, right? The Lord willing, amen, spring. It's dragging its feet this year. But anyway, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., we're going to have lunch provided. We're going to be working inside, working outside, and just kind of getting it the church all nice and spruced up for getting it ready for Easter. Amen? All right. And the spaghetti fundraiser, which was supposed to be today, so I know Jesse was really looking forward to it. He was looking forward to it once you sent him the text and said it wasn't this Sunday. He goes, oh, I was wanting a spaghetti, but I didn't remember it. But when he said we weren't having it, I missed it. But anyway, we're going to do it April 30th. And this gives the youth and the team time to put together a few more things so that when they do the fundraiser, they're going to be able to raise a nice load of money that they need for ministry this year, because they've got a lot of great things planned for the youth. All right. Okay, and I want to thank everybody for giving, and just want to remind you that, you know, when we give to the Lord, when we give out of a pure heart, when we give out of, it says a cheerful heart, when we give that to him, whether it's our tithes or offerings, it pleases him. He loves a cheerful giver. And so I want to encourage all of you, however much you give, wherever, whenever you give, to do it with a cheerful heart. Ask the Lord to stir you. Ask him to ignite you, to see what this particular potential is, what you're giving to him. Because you may think, oh, it's just a little bit I'm giving, Lord, what can it do? He can take it and he multiplies it. How many have watched The Chosen? Jesus takes, what, two fish, five loaves of bread? Is that right? Five loaves of bread, five fish, two loaves of bread, something like that. Yeah, and he multiplies it to the place where he feeds 5,000. That's the miracle working power of God. So don't ever think that your tithe or your offering, it's not anything. It is. When God takes it and he uses it, he multiplies it. And then he brings a blessing back to your life. It's just the way it works. When we sow, we harvest. Amen? Amen. All right, with no further ado, Pastor Eric.
Check, 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 check. Amen. So good. How's everybody feeling today? Do you have any joyful people in the house this morning? A few of us. That's incredible. I'll say it time and time again. A grumpy Christian is an oxymoron. That's funny for me to say, of all people, to be quite honest. But praise the Lord. sickness is from hell. Sickness is straight from hell. Tell you guys that. I say that because our house has been taken out this whole week, other than Skyly and I. I think it's because Skyly and I are the holiest in our house, is why. Keep praying for Nancy and the rest of the fam. But Caden, did you change the camera? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So starting Sunday night, we had, from our youngest, he was patient zero, began symptoms of sickness. And then we thought it was kind of just a one and done, but then like Tuesday all day, he was, you know, not holding anything down. And then I think it was, all day Wednesday as well. And then Thursday, I get a text from my wife saying both little kids are now like full on sick. And she's like, oh, I'm not feeling good. And so I rushed home and taking care, without getting too graphic, I'm exchanging, puke buckets and washing stuff out and changing diapers and washing blankets and washing towels. And it was so much fun. Then on Thursday, I think Friday morning, Caden didn't feel good. So the whole week has just been about the sickness. It's been rough. But I refuse to believe that, that's from God. And so this is anything about my message. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that sickness isn't something that, like, God's way more creative than, hey, I need to make the Lopez family sick so I can teach them a lesson. When I'm not sure what we can learn from puke and diarrhea, but we didn't learn anything if that was the lesson. I just think God's that much more creative than that. And so we just rebuke sickness. And I just want to start today by just praying and releasing that into the house today. It is the quote unquote, they say the flu season started early. But I don't know about you guys. I care less about what the news says, less about what the world says, and more about what our God says. And if God died for my all of my sin, all of my inequities, all of my infirmity, then that means that includes the flu, that includes cancer, that includes, depression, that includes asthma, that includes all of these things. And so I want to start today by us just praying for that. So if you want to receive today, you just receive where you're at. But I'm just going to pray over every home represented in this place, over anybody who's watching online or listening to this at a later date. I just want to pray this out and us just come into agreement as a house that we are a healed house, that we have we carry a sick free zone around us, that because we carry Jesus inside of us, the same Jesus that walks into places and interrupts, Jesus interrupted every funeral that he ever went to, including his own, okay? The same Jesus that carries that, we carry inside of us, okay? This isn't just a friendly little, oh, we receive Jesus so we can go to heaven. Yes, that is true. Also, we get to bring heaven down to earth for our remaining years, right? From young to old, the length you have on this earth, you have the opportunity to bring heaven down to earth. So I'm going to pray. And you, if you want to receive it, receive it. If you need a healing in your body, receive it. If there's something in your body right now that needs healing, I just believe that God wants to touch the house today. So God, I thank you, Lord, that you, God, are the ultimate healer in this place. And I just pray blessing upon blessing over your people today. God, I pray healing over backs, God. I pray healing over knees, God. I pray healing over sicknesses, God. Lord, I rebuke the flu in Jesus' name. I rebuke all colds in Jesus' name. I rebuke, Lord, all sickness, God, in your holy, holy name, Jesus. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you are a healer, God. I pray, Lord, protection, Lord, over every home represented over this place. God, I pray, Lord, of protection, God, that your healing hand would be on each mother and father and son and daughter, brother and sister in this place, God. Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for just your healing power, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Martinez family, I actually saw your house as I was praying, and I saw this. I like from a zoomed out point of view, I could see your house, and I almost saw like this fortress come over the home as I was praying. And so I know that you guys have dealt with sickness for, you know, off and on for a while now. And I just feel like the Lord is just saying it's done, it's finished. And so just receive it, just walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. I want to talk about, I titled my message, Staying Hungry. I don't have any slides or anything today. And just because I as I was preparing my message, I just was getting amped up, and I don't even know how much I'm going to stick to my notes. But I, if those of you who were here last Sunday, God did something special in this place, and I don't think that was a one off. I don't think that was God just like teasing us, giving us a taste. I believe that the tides of the church, not just One Life Family Worship, but the capital C church as a whole, the tides are shifting, and we're seeing things happen in the body of Christ in America that we haven't seen for a long time. And I feel like if we pay attention and if we press in, we will get the opportunity to see a side of Jesus that we haven't got to see yet. That we will get to encounter Jesus and get to walk in a new way with Jesus like we never have before. He's a gentleman, and he's not going to force anything upon us. Also, Jesus is so good and too good to allow us to miss anything that he has for us. Okay. And so, I titled my message, Staying Hungry. And I believe this. I believe the church has been pregnant with something that is beginning to be birthed. But in order to continue forward, we must stay hungry. We must listen to our cravings. We must listen to our cravings. Like I said, our kids are, most of our kids were sick this week. And for 2 days, for literally 2 days, Leanna Marae, our 5-year-old, she didn't eat anything. She didn't eat not one thing. I was offering her the world. I was like, I'll go get you anything to eat. But she was so worried about actually upchucking that she's like, I don't want to put anything on my stomach, right? And her 5-year-old brain was like, if I put that in, it's going to come out, right? That's going to make me sick. And so she didn't eat anything. And then last night we're watching a movie, and it got over around like 10 o'clock, and she comes to me and she said, Dad, she's like, Dad, tomorrow I want you to get me a cheeseburger from McDonald's. And I said, oh, is that what you're craving? And she said, yeah. I was like, do you want one right now? She said, yeah. So I went to McDonald's, because I was like, whatever you want right now, I'm going to get you, because you haven't eaten, but your body is saying, I'm so hungry that I want that thing. We have to pay attention to our cravings. The only way we crave the Lord is we consume the Lord. The only way we become hungry for God is we consume God. We consume his presence. We stay in that place. If you're not hungry for the Lord, then I would then question, what are you consuming? Because if you're hungry for the Lord, it's because you've been consuming him and you only want more of him. There's a reason why I tell my youth from week to week, we probably go not a week without talking about what? Chick-fil-A. It's just a constant thing in our youth group because I'm trying to raise them up the right way. Okay, I'm trying to get them to believe in Jesus and believe that Chick-fil-A is the best in the world, right? And there's a reason why, though, I crave it. It's because I've consumed it and I know how good it is. And not to compare Chick-fil-A to Jesus, but they're very close, okay? But when you consume Jesus, you become more hungry for him. I have a buddy who his wife is pregnant, and they just found out they're pregnant, and she, along with pregnancy, you know, moms, you know, come cravings. And he messaged me the other day, and he said, "Bro, I am on my way." He lives in Southern California, and he said, "I'm on my way to a restaurant that is 20 minutes away because my wife wants rice and beans from this specific restaurant that we had eaten at once 3 years ago." He's like, it is funny because I asked him about it later. I was like, "Well, was it worth?" He's like, "Yeah, it was worth it." Like that, like she was right. The rice and beans were they were everything that we could dream. So what are you hungry for, church? What are we hungry for? I believe we saw a move of God happen last week the way we did. We saw an outpouring happen the way we did because there was a hunger stirred up in this place. And I don't want us as a body to take our foot off the pedal. I believe that we as a small church can see. I don't necessarily care. I do care, but I care less about this room being filled with people, and I care more about the hearts in this room being filled with Jesus. Okay? So do I want to see this room filled? Absolutely. I absolutely do. What I care more, though, is that every person in this room's heart is so burning for Jesus. And I can do ministry with 10 people in the room that are on fire to Jesus, and I'd rather do that than have 100 people in here that just, whatever, this is Sunday, another day. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't think Pastor Gay and Mike want anything to do with that. I know my wife doesn't want anything to do with that. And I hope you guys don't want anything to do with that. We're not here just to do another Sunday. We don't take this time and gather just to go through the motions and just do church. But we're actually here because we want to see a move of God happen in our life. We want to leave closer to Jesus than when we came in. We want to leave a little bit different than when we came in. A little bit more free. A little bit more lighter. A little bit more healed than when we came in. But we have to stay hungry. I want to read this in Acts. This is in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And this is in the Passion Translation. And most of us know this story, but I was thinking about this the other day, and I wanted to reiterate this because this is where we get to see, you know, guys know the word revival isn't in the Bible. Like that's a word that we put on like moves of God. That's revival, right? This is actually us getting to see revival happen, right? There were different moves of God, but this move of God, this revival right here in the upper room is why we are gathering the way we are, the way we are experiencing Jesus the way we are. Without this move of God, church is looking very different in 2023. Without this move of God, church is looking very different. So let me just read this. This is Acts 2 in the Passion. It says, "On the day of Pentecost, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then, all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them." And this is why I wanted to read the Passion. It says this in verse 4. "They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned." They were all filled and equipped. When we step into what Jesus has for us, it's not just us, now we're a Christian, we get a title. It's actually now we're equipped. Now we become equipped with something. We have something now that we didn't have before. The question, though, is, not am I equipped or not, because if anybody in this room that's received Jesus, anybody in this room that's been touched by Holy Spirit, you now have been equipped. The question isn't am I equipped? The question is, what am I going to do with what I am equipped with? Because now these things are loaded weapons. Now these hands are operate different. Now, because when Jesus walked into the room, everything changed. When I walk into the room, everything changes. When I walk into the room, I get to set the temperature. I become a thermostat and no longer a thermometer, right? Like I come into the space and I say, you know, the temperature does not feel holy or good in this place. But now that I'm coming in, I'm going to change the temperature because I carry Jesus. I'm going to talk about it in a little bit, but one of my favorite stories is when Jesus walks into the room of the little girl, of Jairus' daughter that's dead, right? They probably checked her pulse. They probably put their finger under her nose to see if there's any breath. She's dead. And what does he do? He walks into the room full of death and full of mourning, and he changes the temperature and says, no, she's not dead. She's sleeping. And then that girl gets raised from the dead. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's what happens when we get equipped. We get to walk into dead situations and bring them back to life. Waiting on the Lord, and this is what they were doing on the day of Pentecost. They were waiting on the Lord. It's hard, but it's vital. And this is why sometimes, and I know Pastor Mike has talked about it a couple times, when we do worship and why we don't just jump through songs and it's like, okay, we can do 5-6 songs on a Sunday morning. We absolutely could. That would be easy. But the reason why we sit, and sometimes today we sung two of the songs that we actually had planned. And the reason why we do that, not because we want to be, cool and edgy and like, let's be whatever. It's because we're waiting on the Lord and we're waiting to see where he wants to go and what he wants to do. Yes, I have a plan. I have these sets. That's my responsibility as a worship leader. I have these sets that I'm going to do. Yes, I prepared a word. I have this outline that is doing my due diligence as a leader. Also, all of that goes out the window the second Holy Spirit steps in. And I hope you hear what I'm saying is that if you're looking for a church that's cookie cutter and everything's you're going to predict from 10:30 to noon what you're going to get. This probably isn't the place, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to listen in and tune into what Holy Spirit is doing, because we don't want to just come and do Sunday mornings. We want Holy Spirit to come and say, hey, sing these songs. Hey, preach this word. That's what we got to experience last week with Pastor Mike. He's up there and he was getting fired up and stirred up and he just went. And that was just inspired by God. And that's what we're trying to do here. And because we're trying to stay equipped. Waiting on the Lord is hard, but it's vital. And again, that's what we're trying to do on a weekly basis. There's a man back in the early 1900s. His name's William Seymour. And William Seymour was an African-American preacher in a day when it was very hard to be, much harder to be, I would say, to be a person of color in this country. And he broke racial barriers and pursued the Lord in such a mighty way. And again, was a catalyst to why we experience church the way we do today in certain arenas. So William Seymour, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Azusa Revival. There's a revival down in LA, and this was just started by a group of people praying in a home, and it went from a praying in a home, but it's a few people to multiple meetings a day in a larger building. I think I don't know if every building I saw, the only number I saw was 1500. I don't know if every meeting was 1500, but they just gathered in a room where they were just going after Jesus. And it wasn't just William Seymour, a man that he's the one that needs to share. No, it was actually like, we're waiting on the Lord. Sometimes he would get up on the pulpit and he would just sit there and he would pray, and they wouldn't go anywhere. They wouldn't do anything. They would just pray and seek Holy Spirit, to the point where there was one story I heard. I couldn't find it. There's a book called God's generals. And if you're interested in knowing about revivals that have happened in different through different people in different places all over the world, this is a great book to pick up because it depicts these people's lives, and not just the good, but also the bad and where they fell short. But it talks about William Seymour. And there's this story where the fire department got called because there was a glow coming from the building, and they thought that the church was on fire, but it was the Spirit of God moving in that place. Why? Because of hunger. And this is the hill that I'm going to die on. I believe that hunger is the catalyst to us seeing revival. Hunger is the catalyst to us seeing a move of God. I don't know how we get to that place without staying hungry. I don't think we get to see a move of God by just doing the same thing and going through the motions. I think we get to see God because God's so good and he's going to show up regardless when the saints gather. Also, why would I settle for knowing him or seeing him at a 5 when I can know him or see him at a 10? Why would I settle for mediocre church when I can see an outpouring of God? And hear my heart, okay? I know sometimes when I get into this motion or get into this mode, I could start, it sounds like, to me at least, that I'm beating up the church. And I don't want to beat up the church. I think the church has done a great job, not just this church, but churches all over. I think also sometimes we settle. And sometimes we get into habits. And I just want to encourage us as a son of this home that we would not settle. That we would go after getting to God at a 10 and not settle for meeting God at a 5, okay? So the Azusa Revival, it ran for roughly from 1906 to about 1915. But again, it just began with a few gathered praying in a home. Hunger. They were hungry. There's other revivals that happened all over the world. They're still happening. There's a Welsh revival in Wales. There was a Azusa revival, like I said, in LA. There was the Jesus movement in the 60s and 70s in Costa Mesa, California. And right now we're seeing a revival happen in Asbury University in Kentucky. And again, I think that it's not that these places, it's not that Wales is a super holy place or LA or Costa Mesa or Kentucky or Redding, California or Kansas City. Any of these places that they're holy grounds. But what they have is they have holy people that are staying hungry. I believe that Yakima, Washington can become a place where we see a mighty move of God if us as believers will continue to stay hungry and feast on what God has put in front of us. We come to the banquet table and we say, God, I'm going to consume this and I want more and I want more and I want more and I want more. And I'm not just going to settle for what happened last Sunday. I'm not going to settle for what happened last year, but I'm going to keep consuming and I'm going to keep pursuing you, God. I believe that could happen in our city. And that Yakima can be known for so much more than just being this blip on a map, known for making apples and producing hops and, you know, gangs and violence. Wouldn't it be crazy if when you met somebody outside of Washington State and they asked where you were from, you said, I'm from Yakima, Washington. They said, oh my gosh, I heard that God moves in Yakima. Oh my gosh, I heard that when you go to Yakima, you experience the presence of God like you never have before. There's another revivalist, John G. Lake. I believe it was John G. Lake. He went to Spokane, right? I don't know the dates that he was there, but he went to Spokane. And a move of God moved so mightily in Spokane, Washington, that Spokane became the healthiest city in Washington. There was no sickness. Why? Because they got hungry. They went to that place. They began pursuing the Lord. They began praying. They began rebuking. They began actually walking in this thing. And Spokane got healed. Wouldn't it be crazy if Yakima got healed? When you stay hungry, you're always looking for opportunities to consume. We need to expect Jesus to show up. Luke 8:40. It says it like this. It says, now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Other translations say they were expecting him. Does anybody know the miracles that followed them expecting and waiting? Two really famous ones. One, the woman with the issue of blood. And two, the little girl, like I said previously, Jairus' daughter that got healed, that got raised from the dead. Why? Because they were waiting and they were expecting. What if we came, or not just, let's take church out of the equation. What if in your everyday life you waited and were expecting the Lord to show up? What would happen if us regular old Christians just went home and we waited on the Lord to move in our circumstances without trying to fix it? We waited for God to move in our families. We waited that son or that daughter or that family member that we've been praying for and been wanting to see him or her come to the Lord. And we actually put it before God and waited and expected, not just prayed hoping, but prayed believing. And actually said, God, I expect you to move in this, in my brother's life. I expect you to move in my sister's life. I expect you to touch their heart, Lord. I expect you to move in such a way, God, where they can't deny that you are God. God, I expect you to heal my home. I expect my finances, God, to get in order and that I can partner with you and they can get in order. What would happen if us as believers waited and expected the Lord? When we wait and expect, surprisingly, Jesus shows up and miracles follow. When we make space for him, he is faithful to fill that space. There's a story in 1 Kings. I want to read this and then I just want to pray. And you ever read the Bible and I'll be the first to say this. I'm not the most well-versed person of the Bible, right? I've been reading the Bible now for, I think, 16, 17 years, something like that. I still know, I would say, very little about the Bible. As I was preparing this message, I called Pastor Mike to say, hey, can you clarify something for me? Right? So I don't pretend at all. I just want you guys to know. I don't pretend at all to know everything about the Bible. All right? So sometimes I read the Bible and I'm like, that's really good. I don't know exactly what's going on, but that's really good. This is one of those moments. So I'm going to read this. We're going to read it together. And some of you will be in the same boat as me. But it's at the end that I really want us to focus on, okay? And this is 1 Kings 8, 1 through 11. And maybe at a later time, Pastor Mike can clarify some of the stuff that's happening here. Because he is the 6'4 walking, talking Bible. 1 Kings 8, this is 1 through 11. It says, Then King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David. All the Israelites came together to King Solomon at the time of the festival in the month of Ethanim, the seventh month. When all the elders of Israel had arrived, the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord in the tent of meeting and all the sacred furnishings in it. The priests and the Levites carried them up, and King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted. The priests then brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and overshadowed the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place, and they are still there today. There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. This is the part that I want us to focus on. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. So they did all this stuff. They stirred something up. They did all the religious practices. They sacrificed so many that they couldn't count. And they waited on the Lord, and what happened? He showed up. It says he showed up. So the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud, and the glory of the Lord filled his temple. He filled the space so much that they couldn't continue what they had planned to do. that's, I believe, where we're going. As believers, as a house, as a youth ministry, as a Sunday morning, I believe that we're creating a place where we're waiting for God to fill this up. I'm not talking about just this room. I'm talking about our hearts, our beings, fill it up so that whatever we want to do is going to go out the window and we're going to allow him to move. When God shows up in our lives, there will be room for nothing else. When we put God at the center of whatever we're doing, we then find out what's most important. We find out what actually we can fill in there. Imagine, so this cup right now is about almost three quarters full of delicious nectar from heaven. Okay. Imagine that's my life. And I filled my life mostly with just whatever I wanted to. I filled it with you know, my desires, my dreams, my burdens, my whatever, right? And then I take God, and God is all consuming, right? God is all powerful, and then I try to place him in here to the point where I want him to fit into this thing. Things would begin to get pushed out. Really, there's being no room for God. But instead, if I poured out my life, which is what we do when we say yes to Jesus, we pour out our life, we die to ourselves, become a new person, right? Eric Lopez, you know, post October 2005, or pre 2005 to Eric Lopez post October 2005 when I received Jesus, was a new person. Right? But I pour out my life and then I put Jesus in there first. I put God in there first. Right? Then I pour in the things that my desires. I then get to see what actually does fit in there, what actually can fit in there, what actually is supposed to fit in there. When I put him first, when I put him at the center. And I get it, it's hard. And some of us, as we go through life, we want to fulfill our dreams. We want to do this and that and the other. But we need to make sure Jesus is at the center of everything that we're doing. Okay? When God shows up in our lives, there will be room for nothing else. The priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled this temple. So here's my prayer. Here's my charge. Here's my encouragement. Is I'm wondering today, who wants to be filled with God so much? Who wants to be consumed by God so much that no matter what it looks like, no matter what we have to die to, no matter what we have to give up, no matter what we have to leave behind, we are so consumed by him that it doesn't matter. And I just want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for us, and I'm not asking you to do anything different. I'm not asking you to do something special. But I will say this. There is something about doing something different than you have before to see God move. The amount of times I hear Christians talk about, I want to see God move, but they just keep doing the same thing. Right? They keep operating the same way. They keep approaching God the same way. We wouldn't settle for this in our marriages. If our marriage was struggling, if me and Nancy, if our marriage was struggling and we needed help and we needed to do something different, we couldn't just talk about it. We'd have to change the way we operate. We'd have to change the way we approach each other. We'd have to change the way our date nights look. We'd have to change the way we talk to each other. We'd have to change everything. Why? Because I can't just say I want to be closer to my wife without actually getting closer to my wife. Say I can't say I want to get closer to God. I want to be consumed with God without actually moving a different way. Amen? So why don't you guys stand with me? And I'm going to pray. And if you have something on your heart, if there's something that you feel like you're getting stirred up and you're burning inside right now that you want to share, I want to give you an opportunity to share. But I'm going to pray and let's just allow God to fill us up today. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that you are so, so good. And I just ask right now that your children would be filled up in your presence today, God. Lord, that we would not go back to normal Christianity. We would not go back to what we've done previously. We would not go back to just going through the motions, God, but we would take a step forward and going deeper and deeper into your presence, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, against, Lord, anybody in this room, Lord, any heart in this place that is feeling like, that is feeling stuck. God, I pray against the walls in people's lives right now, the barriers in people's lives right now, in their minds, in their spirits right now, God. I ask that you would break through those things, God, that we would not settle, God. We would not settle for meeting you out of five. We would not settle, God, for what we experienced last Sunday. We would not settle, God, for what we experienced in the past, Lord. Although those moments were powerful, although those moments changed our lives, although those moments, Lord, put us on a new trajectory with you, God, but we would not settle for those things, God. We would go deeper and deeper with you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we're on the right side of heaven today, God. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that when we get to partner with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to co-labor with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we're not just robots that just got saved and just go through the motions like other Christians do, but we actually have a free will, God, and that we're not meant to just stay at one place, God, but we're meant to grow greater and greater in you, God. To glorify you, God. I thank you, Jesus, for every person in this room, young to old, God. I thank you, Lord, for how you're using their lives, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you're moving in their life, God. Lord, that you are making them a beacon of hope, Lord. Lord, that they are a beacon of hope, Lord, for those around them, God. Lord, for their community, Lord, for their classmates, for their coworkers, for their families, God, for their spouses, for their children, God, that they are a beacon of hope, God, and that every person in this room, Lord, has influenced, God, because you are inside of them, Jesus. God, I thank you that you've put us in this city. I thank you that you've put us in Yakima, Washington, God. I thank you, Jesus, that the places that we go, Lord, the places that we live, God, Lord, the area that we live in, the Yakima Valley, God, will be touched because we live there, God, that we dwell there, God, and because we dwell there, you dwell there, God. God, I pray for testimonies to come out of this place, Lord. Lord, testimonies of how God is moving, God. Testimonies of how you are moving in our lives, God. That we would be on the lookout, Lord, for your goodness. We'd be on the lookout for the things that you're doing in our lives and in our families' lives, God. That we would be looking for opportunities, Lord, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Let us not settle, God. Let us not settle in what we've been settling in, if we have been settling. Yeah, stir us up, Jesus. Stir us up, God. Stir us up, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Quick word. So while we were worshiping, I saw like a beam of light. It was a searchlight, and it actually had like searchlights have bigness behind them, like big, whatever. Anyway, but it was his love. And as I saw him searching, I don't know if it was even just this body, but as I saw him searching, I heard a stumbling block to being searched to really have more of him is unforgiveness for oneself, your own expectations. Like Pastor Gay was saying about that whole that was filled with the Lord, sometimes that can be a stumbling block. You don't, for your own expectations or your own life can be blocked because you can't forgive that, your own self. So anyway, he loves us very much.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I feel like a few people are stirred up in this place. If you have a word for the house, don't hold back. This is a time for us to be brave and bold before the Lord. If there's any place you can take a risk in, this is the place with your family.
I know y'all hear from me all the time, but so this week I heard something and it just, you know, made me think. And so, you know, we know that the serpent approached Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we always think of him as a serpent when he approached her. But I don't know about y'all, but if I'd have been Eve and the serpent was approaching me, I'd have been running and screaming, going, what is this? Because I don't like snakes. But I believe that, and remember, Satan was at one time an angel. And he walked and he talked and he carried praises to God. So I believe that is how he approached her in the garden, like a serpent. And when he got her and deceived her into eating of the fruit that she wasn't supposed to, and God cursed her, cursed him, he cursed the devil. And when he said, you will eat the dust and you will crawl on your belly, he, in fact, disarmed and defeated the devil for us.
That's good.
He can't hold us. He can't stick his feet out there and run after us or trip us. He can't grab us and make us do what we don't want to do. He can give us thoughts. He can be sneaky and whisper, just like snakes do with their quietness. But he's been defeated and he's been disarmed. And it is up to us to remember that and to call on God. And Tim was reading this morning, and the reading was, don't let evil take over your day, but fight evil with good. And we have the ability to do that. We have the ability to defeat evil by serving God and doing good.
So good. So good. To piggyback off that, I would say that we have defeated evil. That we're on the winning side. And I was trying to find it. I don't recall what book it's in, but it says that one day we will see the enemy and we'll say him. It was him, Isaiah. Yeah, you're right. It's Isaiah. And we'll get to see him. It was him that was making all that mess, all that noise. It was him, right? So it's like I envision, like, you know, like anybody who's ever had mice in your home, like, right? That, I know they're creepy and stuff, but it's like this. Oh, it's you that's making that mess. It's you that's making all that ruckus, right? We're on the winning side, church. We're on the winning side. The battle is won. We have to walk in that. Anyone else have a burning in their heart to share with the house?
So this morning, actually, whenever I was going to do the opening, I actually had that exact scripture that you shared about how the Holy Spirit came in like a cloud. And I had that exact encouragement and word that you gave, just in a shorter form. But I felt the Lord telling me, just let go of the agenda and let go of the plans that you have and just pray. And so what he's showing me is that sometimes whenever you have a plan to do something, like I was planning to open with that, he just needs you to, maybe what you're saying is right, but maybe it's just not the right timing. And so in that moment, it didn't need to be shared, but later during the message, it needed to be shared. And so just remember that, listen to the Lord and he'll guide you. So. Lord, I just thank you so much for this church congregation, and I just declare right now that every heart and every mind would just be postured towards what you have for them, Lord, and that you would just begin to guide us, and that we would just follow you, Lord, that you would just pave the path for us so that we know which way to go, and just hold our hand along the way. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Well, it's hard to like land the plane when you just feel God in the room. But I'll land the plane. And so, I'll leave you with this. Jesus is good. The devil is bad. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, I love you guys. Meeting starts in 10 minutes. And if you guys need prayer, you don't have to wait for any special moment or invitation. Like, you know, find one of us. We'll pray for you. And but yeah, until then, we just hang out.